Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, at 6 o'clock. We have Alderman Trulis, Alderman Transier, Alderman Soling, myself. We also have Alderman Cook present, staff, and some public. Real quick, so we have a little echo on these?
Yep.
Is that just something we're going to have on them?
They should be fixed now. The echo was an issue the other day. So you have an echo right now?
I missed it. There's no echo.
There we go. It was actually me.
Yeah, you have to mute your speakers and then mute your microphone too, and then it'll isolate it just to your microphone.
All right. Okay.
Can we unmute the...
Yeah, there's no echo. I'm sorry. There's a delay, but there's no echo.
You've got it.
Yep.
We are posting this one via Zoom, via the governor's proclamations. We actually have, I see now Alderman Merrick is online as well. Do we have any public comment? Nope, doesn't look like it. And I don't think Alderman Merrick has any comments either. We do have minutes for correction and approval from February 15th, 2023. Any comments on those? Seeing none, we'll take those as presented. Right. New business, admin 2023-14, budget report for February 2023.
Yeah, right off the top, our sales tax figures, which are shown in the February column, are there for November. Those are pretty strong numbers historically. Year over year, especially compared to the past couple years where we had double digit increases year over year, it is only like 1.2% higher on the regular side, but then the non-normal sales tax side is a couple percentage points higher. And then off the chart, December, those so the December consumer sales will show up in March. Those figures actually just came through a couple days ago. And we did set a record month. It's like $419,000. Which is good because we're continuing to go up in trajectory. On a year-over-year basis, though, that one was only about 1.6%. And then our non-home rule was at about 6%. So non-home rule continues to outperform budget expectations. The regular home regular sales tax is starting to regress to the mean. So for fiscal year 23, so the current fiscal year that we're in, these are going to be the last few months here that are going to show up. We are still on track to meet our budgeted number, so that's not a concern. And as long as we're in that 1% to 2% range even for the next following year, it wouldn't be enough of a concern. We would need to act necessarily because we're hitting a shortfall. But we'll continue to monitor those and let you know. And then nothing else in there that was particularly noteworthy, at least from my end, but if anybody has any questions on it, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions or comments on the budget report? It's good news to have an exceptional month again. So, all right, that's informational. Admin 2023-15, Treasurer's Report for February 2023.
Beginning fund balance of $27,400,675. Year-to-date revenues of $41,088,747. Year-to-date expenses of $42,892,866 for a projected ending fund balance of $25,596,555.
Questions or comments? Thank you, Rob. That one will move to the consent agenda. All right. Admin 2023-16, review of invoices between $5,000 and $25,000 for February 28th and March 14th bills.
This is just a review of bills between the $5,000 and $25,000 fraction that was already presented to you on the 28th of February and yesterday on the 14th of March.
And it's good to see. Anybody have any questions on these? All right, that is informational as well. Appreciate it. Admin 2023-17, website report for February 2023.
The report is in the packet. We're at a low point of the year historically. We're gearing up for the spring and summer event season, so we do expect to see our hits going up from there. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions and comments?
How are we looking on the uptake?
the website update. So I took your comments back. We approved the mood board and the layout proposal. And then this is where they're going to put the hard work in. It'll be probably 3 months out until we see an actual mock-up of our website, and then we'll bring it forward to you. But it'll probably be summer time at it.
When that actually comes forward and it goes live, so we'll see it sometime summer and it goes live after that. Traditionally, have we seen a slight spike in the change of it, or does it have no bearing on our traffic?
Zero.
Okay, I don't want to skew the numbers. It's nice that it looks updated, but yeah, I don't want it to. All right, that's informational. I appreciate it. Thank you. Admin 2023-18 health insurance proposal. This is informational at this point, but we all received information just prior to the meeting. So, Rob and Bart.
Yep, my email froze, so I have to pull it up on my phone here, so I apologize for a second. Rob will get into the details, but in general, we're recommending no change to any of the carriers. Our health, dental, and life insurance is all through Blue Cross Blue Shield currently. We package those things together. You get a 1% discount, which for us on the health insurance is worth about $14,000. So even though a couple of those policies were nominally cheaper than Blue Cross Blue Shield, when you switch, make the switch and lose that discount, we actually come out not ahead, come up behind. So that is not something that we're recommending this year. Additionally, the quotes were within budget at around 4%, and that down from an initial quote of about 11%. So we're not making or recommending any changes to the actual health insurance plan, and Rob's got the contributions in there too, so I don't know if I missed anything. I'm good enough memory.
No, you covered it well. I mean, the only thing I would say is that the employee contributions are, you know, pretty steady. I think it'll be about a $4 increase on the HMO side per month, and then maybe a $5 PPO increase per month, so not too bad.
Yep, and we did email right before the meeting. I can print out copies if anybody wants to see them before they go. I know that we wouldn't necessarily attach a recommendation out of this committee because we had to send it last minute here. I didn't get it until late Monday, and I didn't review it. But I would anticipate it be on the next city council agenda under the mayor's report with his consent, just because we have to meet open enrollment timeline.
Overall, the employees are pretty happy with Blue Cross.
Yeah, we had looked at switching probably 10 years ago or so, cost related. A couple of the competitor carriers had at that time given us soft quotes of 20 or 30% of a discount. And for us, when we were, having our fiscal issues, that was, something that we wanted to capture if we could. Started to do the census data with all the employees so that the carrier could then provide a better quote, and I think I had a dozen, two dozen employees out of 60 or 70 at the time. And my office asked me why we were changing it because they were listing out the doctors that they already knew were going to be a network, etc. So I have also heard stories, this is before me, so 30 years ago we had United Healthcare. We had a couple of employees that went through some pretty serious issues within their family and had some pretty large claims that were disputed at the time. And so there's a with legacy employees, there's a little bit of a fear that we would ever, switch away from Blue Cross Blue Shield. We've heard, though, that United especially has really modernized and updated their claims processing, so that's less of an issue currently. But anytime you're switching networks, it tends to be a disruption for employees, and they do like the Blue Cross coverage. So.
Any other questions? Basically, everything is staying the same, slight increases, dollar a month, or $4 or $5 a month, that's marginal. So. All right, good, appreciate that. We'll look forward to seeing that as it goes forward to City Council. Next item, what's it?
Great.
Next item, admin 2023-19, water, sewer, and road infrastructure fee renewals.
Yep, so Rob's got a memo in the packet. This is basically just reauthorizing the existing fees. So as part of the budget proposal, we did not propose any change in the water infrastructure fee or sewer infrastructure fee. So there shouldn't be a question there, at least as far as congruence with the budget proposal. For the road infrastructure fee, although we've itemized some scenarios, inflationary increases or one-time adjustments, within the budget proposal. We did not include any of that in the budget proposal, as I reviewed last night. And so we figured, just to get it on the books, because our fiscal year starts May 1, bills go out soon thereafter, we would just propose a status quo road infrastructure fee approval. And then if at any point the council as a whole decides that they want to tackle the road infrastructure fee increases in the subdivision cluster, we can always kind of amend it mid-year. So, but at this point, since we're a few years out from that subdivision cluster supposed to be repaving, we figured it was okay to just move forward now, and then, you know, if you guys change your mind, we can, amend the code mid-year.
Why aren't we proposing increases in the water infrastructure fee?
Why aren't we?
They have to go up. Why aren't we doing that incrementally now?
They could, certainly. We just figured if there's still water rate increases within the budget, and that's a different dollar amount, that we would, for transparency purposes, propose to change those instead. Certainly, we would have to go through and do some calculations. Instead of a water rate increase, you could increase this fee. It would probably have to go up. You know, if we just did like what we did last year, I'm going to guess 11, 12 bucks a month, probably, maybe more. That's based on the $7 bi-monthly fee and then the volumetric rate that we did. So that's it. We just figured, it's probably cleaner to increase the rate because everybody understands the rates are tied to our future projects. And my guess is, to Chris's points in past years, when we come up with an ultimate water rate for Lake Michigan, we'll probably fold all the infrastructure fees into them and just make it cleaner on the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
I do plan to, under additional business, talk budget a little bit, so if we want to get into some of the nuances of that, we can do that. I think this is good to just move it status quo right now, and then as we go through, we'll talk about what those rates need to be later. Or, I mean, we can turn around and do it in the area. As soon as this billing cycle goes out, we can make that decision and change it too when it goes out. So this is for both of them. It's the infrastructure and the infrastructure, water, sanitary, and the motor vehicle tax. Any issues with those being on consent, or would you prefer them on standard agenda?
Consent is fine with me, if they're not going up.
Status quo. Consent it is.
Okay.
Thank you. Next item, Admin 2023-20, Aurora Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, 2023 marketing plan.
In your packet, you have the new plan for 2023. Court Carlson is here from the AACPB to answer any of your questions. But in a nutshell, you can see the split that they're proposing is 22.5 digital marketing, 24.5 print, and 6,000 photo video, which will include a destination video and photos to highlight Yorkville, which in turn we get to use internally in all of our promotional items and our website, which we really appreciate. So, like I said, if there's any other questions that you have, we can go over the plan individually, or if you would like to go over them, it's completely up to you.
I can walk through if you'd like, or say any questions.
Yeah,
that'd be easy to do it, but I can ask questions, but let me just walk through real quick. I think one thing I wanted to point out on the second page,
real quick, I'm sorry, for anybody who doesn't know, this is Court Carlson, he is the executive director for the CBB.
Yes, and Chris Monkhauser is our board representative from the city of Brookville. So thank you, Chris, for your work on the board. I appreciate it. But on page two, down the bottom, you can see the projected budget for the FY20 marketing plan is $53,000. And that's based on really a very substantial increase in the hotel performance over the past year. I think it almost doubles what the budget had been in the past for the city of Brookville for your joint marketing plan. So things are looking really good. Our market had a great recovery from COVID in the past year or so. Not every destination has been so lucky, but we have here in our region, our strong suits are tournament and sports marketing, and then leisure consumer. So both markets have bounced back very strongly from COVID, and so we've seen a great increase in our hotel business, and all those funds are based on the local city collections of your bed tax that come to the CBP for tourism marketing sales, and then a portion of that goes back to the city for your individualized marketing plan. So $50,000 coming back to the city for your individualized marketing plan. Page three has just a real quick, very high level breakdown of some of the results of the 22 marketing plan in terms of web page views for the growth build information that we provided and through our marketing campaigns from last year. I do a full report from the 22 campaign. If you want to see that, I can walk through that as well. But it was a very successful year, and things actually went really well for your filling your marketing plans, including metrics and analytics for 22. And then, as Aaron had said, our 22 marketing plan, we're looking at a split between print, digital, and photo video. Print's about 24.5, digital is 22.5, and photo and video is about 6,000. And all comes through feedback with staff here at the city of kind of what you guys want to see and how we can help place your dollars that make the most sense for Yorkville. And looking at some of the proposed placements, which we've done in the past, and they've been successful for Yorkville, is Chicago Magazine. They do a Go West section in the summertime, which is great for this area, obviously, in Chicagoland, Go West, go out to Yorkville. Midwest Living Magazine is always a good performer for all of our area, and it's looking pretty good for Yorkville as well. And then AAA Living. So part of our goal is to reach those visitors who are traveling a farther distance, coming in, going to spend more time, hopefully stay at a hotel. That's our ultimate goal, is to get hotel visitors. The longer they stay, the more money they spend, obviously. And that's good for the community, it's good for the businesses, and it's good for tourism. So when you look at what we're doing, we're not targeting the local residents or even people like within a 10-mile radius. We're going outside, we're going into Chicago, or going out larger Midwest market to get folks to come in from Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, Missouri. They want to come in, they can experience a water park weekend, stay in a hotel. That's what we want to initiate and help impact. And then the last page actually gives a little bit of breakdown of some of the placements and the spend. Obviously, the in-house social digital is a big impact for us, and that's how we manage your specific marketing to social media campaigns, and then also our digital campaigns that would ground around Yorkville specific city events, and then when you get really down into the summer season, Raging Waves Water Park as a way to bring people into Yorkville as visitors. And then it goes on again to the Go West Guide to Living, and then a destination video, which it's been a couple years since we've been out getting video and photography of the events in the city. A lot has changed, a lot of great new development downtown along the river. So we'll get a photographer out, I'll bring you guys out to get more photos and footage, and then put it all together into a destination video for your film. Kind of down and dirty. But I'm happy to answer any questions for you on the plan, on the 22 plan, or what tourism means for the region.
Thank you, Court.
Your questions?
Good to me.
I've got a few things I just want. So, Court mentioned bringing people in from outside of our local area and doing the kind of tracking, seeing what we have. So, our new software program that we're using is Datafy, which we is a board. Have seen a couple presentations on that now as to how the data actually works, how it's captured, and the results. The analytics are very impressive. Showing where somebody comes from, showing where they end up here. We have broken it down into different geographic areas so you can see when they are in those areas, how long they are, and then when they leave. So when Court talks about bringing people in, we can see that data. It's all based on phone usage, so it's a scary kind of system, big brother. But everybody who has a cell phone, you sign on to those agreements, to read them or not. But it's really helping us to be able to target and make these plans more beneficial to us.
For the first time, our assumptions on our marketing are actually feeding into our actual data of who's in market. We can see who saw our ads, who we influenced, and when they showed up, and where they showed up in our destination. So it's really cool information. Scary, but cool. The marketing side of things, it's very, very cool.
This was a question that came up years ago as to how do we know we're getting the value for our investment. Now we have a tool that can show us people are coming here,
if they're staying a couple days, nights, that's really the key. When we talk about nights, so we're at $53,000 is what's coming back to Yorkville locally for the program. Bart, we talked about this the other day, increase year over year for our hotels, it's substantial. We've had a big boost in hotel business, and we're actually at one of the lowest rates of the hotel tax. We're at 3%, basically all of our surrounding areas. The other CVBs and other areas are 5% or more, if you think of Chicago, how much they are. So even though we're doing very well, there's room if we needed to, we could grow that number. But I just wanted to throw those couple things out there.
How do these people's cell phones get into your system for tracking?
Well, Datafy is able to pull information through like your apps that you use. They actually contract that with those app providers to send them the information. And then they analyze it and put it all together and then send us the final numbers. It's not exact. You know, we're getting like, it works best on a little bit higher level over a long period of time. So a weekend event, it's hard to track. But if it's like we'll do like a summer-long campaign, so say a Raging Waves, 3 or 4 months, then we start to get those averages and those real, you know, more concrete numbers.
So these people don't know they're being monitored.
Well, I think we all know because we all have our phone out.
Right.
So it's like when you walk into a Target, all of a sudden you're getting like Target ads on Facebook, or you're getting pinged with, you know, or the Walmart down the street's pinging you because you're in Target. It's the same information. They're aggregating it, and then we're paying for the service, but it's very specific on, we can measure on like distances. So we can say who from 50 miles or greater came to our market, or we can say who's local. You know, for instance, for the Datafy stuff, we're working closely with Oswego is one of our communities also. So they're using the Datafy information to help them develop sponsorship information for their county or for their city events. So we can tell them who is actually attending their events, and then through that same information, we get demographics and household information. So it also gives us all the numbers, but you know, we don't get specific names and address, so we can't send you something because we know you're here.
That's what my next question was going to be.
It's all aggregated, and same thing with like the demographic, they're all aggregated, but we know basically the profile of who's visiting our area, or who's coming to Wyandotte Fox, or who's coming to the summer solstice, so we can look at that information and we know what that general audience is.
And you don't provide this information on the individuals to other entities?
No. Okay. No, we use it for our own marketing. So it's nice that we can justify where our marketing is. So we can say, yes, we did marketing in this region, and now we're seeing them in our market. Or we can say, who's from our market? Let's turn around and let's target that audience even greater than. So it gives us a real better handle on who's here, who's reacting to our marketing impressions, and then who's actually coming in and spending money in town.
Thank you.
It's actually very cool. Anything else?
Any other questions or comments? All right.
Thank you.
So this one moves out, if I recall, to City Council. Anybody have a concern with this going on consent, or would you like to say consent it is? All right. Moving on. Old Business, Admin 2023-06. This is the solicitors, hawkers, and itinerant merchants ordinance update.
So we do have an update from the last meeting, and then Chris had posed a question prior to the meeting that I didn't get a chance to research, which I'll go over here in a second. So the way that we've updated it since the last meeting is basically everybody has to get a license, to solicit, except for people who are doing nonprofit or school-related fundraising. And it is drafted currently such that it's any school district in Illinois, not just the local ones, which is Chris's question. I have to ask Kathy on that. I didn't get a chance to last week in all the business, so I apologize for that. Yes, we will get that, though, before the next meeting, whenever this gets on the agenda. And then additionally, on top of that, 14-year-olds or under do not have to register. register for the city, don't have to notify us really at all, as long as they're soliciting for the nonprofits or the school districts. So the mayor had actually posed a scenario, you know, could a kid go out and sell grills if a parent was with them? And that answer is no, not under this ordinance. So the 14-year-olds and under do not need to notify us, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. They can go do it as long as it's on behalf of a nonprofit or school organization. And then if you're above 14 to 19, you can do it. You're supposed to notify us. You don't have to get a, you know, a license. You don't have to do a background check. But you are supposed to notify us. That way we have an idea of who's going out and about. So that's the way it's drafted currently. And then I'll have to follow up with Kathy on the whether we can restrict that further to school districts and then report back.
Yeah, I think that was the kind of the discussion we had is for our school district geographically, not having Oswego or Aurora, Naperville coming through their sales here. If they want to, they just have to go through the process. That was the one thing, as you go through, that's the only item that I had a concern with still, is just narrowing that down. We can move this forward pending the review from Kathy and then language change. If we want to move it on, or if we want to hold it until we get that, what's the choice of the committee?
What's the penalty for a violation of a minor if they're doing this without adult supervision?
That's a great question. I would have to ask Kat that too. I would assume that it would be an ordinance ticket. Whether it would be, although. You know, when there are other minor tickets, I don't believe they change anything with the citation form. I think it's just, it's listed on there. And in fact, the minors are now listed on the dockets, whereas they didn't used to be a few years ago. So I would assume that it's the same one that I will ask.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions or thoughts on how we proceed? Do we hold it here until we get clarification or move it forward? Pending clarification.
Thank you, move forward.
Good with it?
I'm just thinking of half the kids in the neighborhood coming around without their parents, even though they're under 14. I can't believe we're going to deal with that.
I mean, they will be, how is the language for that one?
They are.
Parents need to be present,
yes.
Or in the, yes.
They're supposed to be supervised by a parent at all
supervised.
Times. And they have to be doing it on behalf of
the parent. I'm thinking more in terms of, you know who the kid is, the kids know who you are, and, I hate to see them harassed for...
Yeah, as always, there's officer discretion in the field.
I would assume that would be a discretionary kind of a decision.
Yeah, if my kid comes down to your door and, just going to you as compared to every single door.
Right.
You get your discretion.
But most of the time when you have 10 and 12-year-olds selling chocolate bars for baseball, mom or dad are standing on the sidewalk with them.
Usually, yeah. Or they're across, if it's baseball or whatever it is, you might have a few groups, tandem. Usually I see them in ones or twos, and then there's an adult around.
Right.
Because they usually don't have transportation on their own.
That's why mom and dad are with the wagon.
All right, so we want to move this forward and to city council, and we will have that pending, that one change. And we'll get clarification for you on the citations.
Okay.
All right. That is that one, so that goes to standard agenda in 2 weeks. All right, additional business. Two items to bring up. One, budget discussion. Wanted to give anybody an opportunity to discuss the budget, talk about any of our, one, the policy decisions that we have been presented and will need to be making over the next several weeks, and two, the budget as a whole. A nice presentation from Bart last night on some high level and some very detailed points. So. We've done this in the past. Just want to make sure we have an opportunity to discuss it as thoroughly as possible. I know fees are a big issue.
They're going to have to go up.
and it's a matter of where are those fees going to come from? Policy decisions need to be made. Ben, yeah, join in.
Yes, so in the budget last night, so when, how did you decide on $30 million for the public works system?
That was the most expensive estimate that the planners had given us as part of the study. And so we were just making, we tried to budget for that, you know, to see if we could even afford it after we put it in debt service. And when Rob did, we found that we thought that we could make it work to the budget proposal, so we included that. So, and that goes the same with like Lake Michigan, we tried to budget for the most expensive scenario, just so you guys can see the impact of that. And whether you're comfortable with it is a different story.
Right.
You know, it's in there, so you can see how it, you know, plays with the other
folks. Yeah, I just wonder like why you didn't pick 20 million or
something. Yep. No, that was it. It's just, that was the most expensive option that we talked about.
Yeah, we haven't agreed to the higher end yet, right?
No, so you have none.
The only thing we've done is...
The other thing would have been nice, I really wish we could have had the fall goal plan, because I think we could have gave staff a lot better direction on what if it did this budget. I really regret we didn't have that this fall.
Yeah, I know I've talked to a couple about this, doing a goal setting. We have not done this in several years. I think 2019 may have been the last one we did, but our goal setting sessions, I think, are fruitful.
In this case, you got four ticket items that are millions of dollars. I mean, not just $2 or $3 million, like 10, 20, 30, 140 million, one of those. And, you know, I just thought, because you got to prioritize in my mind. And so you have priority 1, 2, 3, and 4, in my mind, I had that. So, and I don't know how the rest of the council even feels about their priorities of where it would be on that. I mean, number one priority for me is getting into the Prairie Point building. And that's, we're almost there, we're almost into the, where we're paying the payments and that stuff. That one will happen pretty easily. The water's gotta get there too, so.
Absolutely.
Some thoughts I had when I listened last night.
Well, I thought one of the budget memos said that staff is planning on having some goal-setting meetings, I think two, in the next year, right?
I figured you were probably gonna need some sort of standalone meeting, whether it's on a weekend or a weeknight, or, you know, as part of a bigger meeting is a different story, but Lake Michigan is its own thing that needs to be discussed, in my opinion, probably multiple times. And then goal setting, yeah. I mean, with the pandemic behind us, I think we ran into some scheduling issues last year, and, you know, the mayor didn't want to push it, so we probably need to do one this year because we haven't done one in years.
And with Lake Michigan Water, I think you also have to talk about doing those streets. That's, what, $30 million there?
Yeah.
So, and the public works facility, we don't even know what that's going to be for sure, because I'm not comfortable with over $20 million. But, so you got to figure out, that's a lot of debt. And I really think we ought to have a checklist on what's, you know, from 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, on big ticket items like that.
Okay. So what was your thought in terms of timing, Bart, on a couple of goal settings?
I guess I just defaulted to the overall goal setting as being sometime in fall. We've done them anywhere from early September to, I think we did one in November one year. And really it's just when everybody's available and when everybody can do it. We do our first budget meetings, which are really just updates and kind of end of year closeouts in summer. We'll do them in June, July, August. So there isn't really any like chicken or an egg thing. It's just like setting the stage basically for what essentially becomes policy discussions at a staff level in January and February before we release the budget. So anytime between May and January is okay for us time-wise. It's just when everybody is eager to do it and is available.
I'm just kind of wondering, you know, we're talking as kind of the five of us, actually I guess Merrick's on there too if he wants to chime in and kind of, so we have technically six. Would it be prudent to just have a kind of ad hoc budget or you know, goal setting discussion on these issues before we get to our decision of the budget, since we've got all these policy questions in front of us and we've got some long-term
Time is short.
Time is short. Yeah. But is it, do we pick a day, an hour before council, we set a meeting prior that we're just going to kind of special committee or chat where it's staff's there, but it's not, there's nothing formal, no structure, just kind of like we do for a goal setting, it's just throw everything on the wall, hash it up.
I'm for it.
I'm concerned. Yeah, I agree. Okay. I'm concerned about long-term debt
it's
here
not
as well.
Make, it's not if you can make the payment, because I know we're pretty creative about how you can make the payment, but it's debt. You still have that debt. And
exactly.
It's the current point of it, how long is that for? 20 years?
20 years, yeah.
And so,
yeah, we can always make the debt because we have mechanisms to raise funds. I mean, we're covered. We can raise funds pretty easily. It's not a... How do they put it? It's not a funding issue, it's a spending issue?
Usually.
But some of these are absolute necessities. Water, it's a necessity. Public works, we need a facility, but what is that? So that's what we need to talk through.
The roads, what would the roads be if we went with that collective? How many years would that be? 20 years there too?
15 is on the roads.
Yeah, that's what we would recommend, is because that's what the lifespan is. Yeah. You can, legally, you can go out to 20 years or, sometimes even 30, depending on the debt, structure that you use, but we would recommend it to go out 15.
Let's have it.
So,
send out some dates.
Will do.
Good discussion. Anything else? Good. That's a good discussion. Appreciate that. Then the other one is going to be... discussion on ordinances, entertainment, venues, and zoning. We discussed this back in December. It did not make this agenda due to some timing. Last week was kind of hectic with Bart's schedule for budgets, which, well done. So just want to continue the discussion. We have six of us here. So we have two mayors now. Just switched over. So I want to open it up for discussion. I don't necessarily want to rehash, but in terms of making sure that we're on the path and we are going to have a discussion formally, potentially next month, see what we want to do, kind of same thing like the budget, how well about it, and see what the primary issues are, concerns are. I know Bart and I talked about this probably over half an hour, 40 minutes, back and forth on different parts of it, so.
We need to have it. I don't mind putting it off for another, but not forever.
I guess what I'd like to get to is, let's kind of isolate the issues, if we can. That way we know what we're going to be talking about or discussing, trying to focus some direction. So if anybody has something that they want to throw out there, because when we've talked about this in the past, it's been very broad. There's a lot of different pieces, whether it's under zoning or it's under liquor light or commission or it's under enforcement, whether that's enforcement through community development or if it's through the PD. So, looking for input so we can try to structure what we do next month.
I think it's something definitely we need to look into, looking at the ordinance. I mean, some things to me are pretty black and white and pretty clear. Some things are old and antiquated and definitely need to be updated. But I think the ordinance overall as a whole, changes need to be made.
My mind is changing drastically about certain things.
Okay. Anything in particular?
I'm looking at the bigger picture.
if you want, we can have offline conversations, and then I can kind of give Bart some information so he can kind of tailor, so we're not going to have just a open-ended and want to try to make sure we're focusing on what the changes might be.
Well, they're just, they're movements beginning across the country, and that they're dealing with this, you can take this as one little piece of a broader issue that's coming, and I guess that's where my mind is at right now. I'm beginning to change my mind from being having liberal thoughts about a subject, and now I'm starting to become very conservative. So. But I think, having just throw the ordinance out there, throw out anything, get it on, get some data, get some information out there, and put it on the agenda.
I agree. I mean, definitely time for changing and looking at our ordinance. It's very old and antiquated. Like I said, things need to be updated, but updating doesn't necessarily mean following what's going on everywhere. Across the nation, there has to be some limitations where sure. It's allowable, but also protected. That's what I'm looking for is something in the ordinance that protects the kids. I have a big thing about children being allowed to see it.
I agree.
If you're a parent and you want to bring your child, that's completely up to you. But I would think it's something that I would say we just make it a free for all and let anybody who wants to go. I mean, I don't know what legally we can do, but to make the attempt is something that I would like to see.
I think, we've got to, have to allow free speech and
absolutely.
Free expression, but it has to be controlled to a certain extent. And like you're saying, kids, so I don't know what the answer is, but maybe we can find it if we have just get it all out there on the table.
And I think part of this was just the discussion of what are the different parts of the ordinances that relate to it? Are there conflicting elements? Are there elements that should be, as you said, updated? Clearly, yes, as you mentioned, times are changing, things have changed, certain laws have changed over time. And it's just a matter of making sure that it's the direction we want for the city. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, the ordinance was last updated in 1993?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to check.
I'm thinking that's about the time, somewhere around there. I mean, it's a completely different world.
Okay. So, that's it. We will continue this. We'll try to focus a little bit of this and. The way it sounds, we probably won't have a staff memo or anything of the sort, but we will have an agenda item that we can discuss, focus, and then talk through. Because obviously we are giving no direction to staff, as this is discussion only. Mm-hmm. So we'll work through and yep. See if we can. If there is something to give to staff in terms of changes, and just one thing I want to throw out, we are updating the Unified Development Ordinances, which is zoning code, so there are things that if they need to change, there's a venue happening for some of that right now. Sections we're talking about have not been reviewed yet, so that's months away still. So I'm the chair of that committee, so I'm following along with that and hearing these. So if those things come up, and our community development staff has been very good about incorporating and modernizing a lot of different things. So. They are aware of what the current laws are and those kind of things for zoning, but that's only one part of kind of what we're talking about. Anything else? If not, we can adjourn at 6:44.
Thank you.
Okay.